Ah, good testimonies this morning, folks.
For a final hymn prior to the message, let's open up to hymn number 5. Hymn number 5, He Hideth My Soul. Where? In the depths of His love. In the depths of His love, in the cleft of the rock. That rock is Christ. Fanny Crosby hymn, of course. She wrote so many great ones. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth of hymn 5. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning, prior to the sermon. Yes, indeed. He hideth my soul.
Thank you, Lord. Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock. The shadows are dry there still.
Good singing. Please be seated at this time. And let me just, I love you.
And I want to encourage you not to let the enemy distract you while we're worshiping. It happens so easily. And we need to focus. Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles this morning and open up to John's Gospel, my favorite. We'll hit the hymnal again, but in the meantime, let's grab our Bibles. John chapter 6 this morning, church. I have a message that the Lord laid on mine heart to bring today. A passage that I've preached on many times in the past 30 years. Once again, the Lord gives you fresh material from an old passage, because the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And in John chapter 6, we're going to cover the first 9 verses. Most preaching you'll hear on this passage is focused in on the miracle itself, where Jesus multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes into a vast feast for some 15,000 to 20,000 people. Feeds them all. And it is a great miracle. And indeed, only the Son of God could do such a thing. He's a supernatural being. He's able to do all things well. But I also want to focus in today on exactly what Jesus is teaching his disciples through this passage, because it's the same lessons that he's teaching you and I today. I want to speak to you on 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. John chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? Beloved, I want to speak to you on 5 loaves and 2 small fishes this morning. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the great hymn of the faith by Fanny Crosby. That, Lord, you take and hide our souls in the cleft of the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that we know the Son of God. We've received him, and we walk with him. I'm so thankful, Lord, that he hideth my soul under the wings of his shelter and love. Lord, what a blessing that is to know thee. This morning, as we come to this passage, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the truths which thy Holy Spirit has spoken to me this week through this passage. And I ask you, dear Lord, by your Holy Spirit to convey them to us, that we may apply them to our lives, that we'd be better servants for thee in these final days of the last days. Lord, we know that you're coming quickly. The world is gone off the deep edge. There's violence on every hand. And Lord, just as it was in the day of Noah, so it is in these days, just like you said it would be. And Lord, we thank you that we know the truth. The truth hath set us free. We're heaven bound. And Lord, we need to share that knowledge with the lost and dying world. Bless us as we study thy word in this message through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Beloved, if there is one thing that this Bible teaches us, more clearly than anything else, it is that Jesus Christ is looking for people who will allow him to work through their lives, just like this little lad. Listen now, Jesus doesn't care if you're old or young. It doesn't matter to him if you're tall or short. He doesn't mind if you're male or female, black or white, thin or wide, because Jesus wants to use you. He wants your life so that he can do great things through it. Listen, folks, if you will let Jesus take what you've got to offer, like this little lad, he'll work the miracles that this young boy only had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but he was willing to give what he had to Jesus. And when we're willing, and we do surrender to him that which rightfully belongs to him, he will take it, he will multiply it, he will bless it, and he'll do work miracles through your life. Now, this morning before I begin preaching, I want to ask a question. Don't answer out loud. What about you? Are you willing to let Jesus work through your life as this young lad did? Think about that as we preach on 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. A number of lessons I see here for us today, church. The first one is this. Jesus sees the needs of people. Don't you know this morning that Jesus always sees the need of the people? Look at me at verse number 5 in our text. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and what? Saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus knew that the people needed to eat. Why? Because Jesus always sees the need. Jesus always sees the need, and he's always able to fulfill that need. I am so thankful that we serve a God who is fully able, ready and willing to meet our needs, if we'll only let him. Jesus calls his attention, the disciples' attention, to the great multitude. He says, boys, do you see them coming to us? Do you know what they need? They need to eat. Now, folks, there's a great spiritual lesson in verse 5. Not only do you need to eat in order to live and function physically, but you need to eat spiritual meat that Jesus offers to live spiritually. Amen? That makes sense. Look with me in chapter 3. Flip back a couple pages. Jesus always sees the need. And he's trying to get his disciples to see the people's need. Oh, how we need to hearken this morning to Jesus Christ and see the needs of those in our lives, church. John chapter 3. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his... God saw the need. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He saw that the people were perishing, and he did something about it. They had a great need that was for salvation. 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, like a lot of people believe today, but that the world through him might be saved. The greatest need of mankind is the salvation, the saving of the soul from sin. The eternal penalty of sin is the hell which will be cast into the lake of fire. Jesus sees that need. So he came and gave himself for that need. Isn't that good? Look at chapter 4, at verse 4. The Bible says, and he, Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Jesus knew that there was a woman in Samaria that needed him. Why? Because Jesus always sees the need. So he went there, went to the very well where the woman would come and fulfilled her need for salvation. Chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5 with me at verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. This guy was paralytic. And he had been that way for 38 years. Do you think he had a need? Oh, yeah. He had a big need that only Jesus could take care of. He was ill. He was paralyzed. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Notice the wording in verse 6. Jesus says, I know what your need is, and I want to ask you a question. Do you want me to take care of that need? Do you want to be made whole? Because I can make you whole. Jesus always sees the need. I'm so thankful for that. In chapter 9, Look with me in John. We'll stay in the Gospel of John today. In John chapter 9, look at it. Verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw, Jesus always sees the need, a man which was blind from his birth. This guy was born blind. Jesus saw his need. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to open his eyes. He's going to give him sight. Look at chapter 11. Jesus always sees the need. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and he was sick unto death. Jesus let him die. Jesus comes along, and he raises him from the dead. Why? Because Jesus always sees the need. Are you getting the picture? Folks, go back to our text in John chapter 6 now. And look at verse 5 again. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great multitude coming unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, boys, do you see their need? Do you have a heart of compassion to meet their need? Folks, Jesus is looking at us this morning and he's saying, church, do you see their need in this world? How we need to open our eyes. Why? Because the world needs Jesus Christ. They may not even know their greatest need is him, but it is, and we know that. Listen now, without a doubt, the hymn that has influenced children for Jesus more than any other is the simply stated one entitled, Jesus Loves Me. Amen? Jesus Loves Me, written in 1860 by Anna Bartlett Wanna. Only the Lord knows how many young people have come to the well of salvation as a result of understanding from this hymn that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh boy, I'm so thankful that Jesus loves us and sees our need. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the heart of the Bible, the gospel in miniature. It's so simple that a child can understand it. Yet it condenses the deep and marvelous truths of redemption into these few incredible words. For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son the greatest gift, that whosoever the greatest invitation, believeth the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest person, should not perish the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Why? Because Jesus sees the need of every person. Amen. I am so thankful that he sees your need this morning, and he wants to meet that need so that you may be enabled to meet the needs of others. And you can through Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, not only does Jesus see the needs of people, but secondly, Jesus wants us to care about their needs. Jesus wants his bride, his church, his people to care about the needs of others. Look at verse 5 again, back in our text. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said, Philip, do you care? And this he said to prove him. Who? Philip. For he himself knew what he would do. Basically, what he's doing is saying, Philip, do you care about their need? Do you have any compassion for them? Do you have any desire in your heart to help them out? Because I do. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus Christ cares about a sin-sick, dying, lost world. He cares. He wants them all to be saved. The question is to you. Oh, how we need to develop the heart of Jesus for the lost and dying of this world. We need to care about their greatest need, which is salvation. Flip back a couple pages to chapter 4 again. In chapter 4, look with me again in chapter 4, at verse 31 this time. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus says, Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your own four walls and look on the fields. Look on the needs of the harvest field. Look at the people's greatest need, which is to meet me, Jesus Christ. Folks, how we need to get our eyes off of ourselves. How we need to get our eyes upon the needs of others. How we need to pull out all the stops and serve Jesus Christ in these final days like we've never served him before. Beloved, D.L. Moody tells one day how he was seeing an engraving which pleased him very much. He says, I thought it was the finest portrait I had ever seen at the time, so I bought it. It was the picture of a man floundering in the ocean and clinging with both hands to the cross of refuge. But afterward, he goes on to say, I saw another portrait which spoiled this one for me entirely. It was so much more lovely. It was a picture of a person coming out of the dark ocean waters with one arm clinging to the cross, but with the other arm lifting someone else out of the waves. D.L. Moody said, I like that one much better. Because not only was he clinging to the cross, he was taking somebody with him. Oh, beloved, that's what we need to do to bring others to the cross. We must care enough to tell them about it. We must care about their greatest need. Jesus wants us to care. Jesus cares. Do you? Oh, how we need to care like Jesus cares. But something else this morning we learn from this passage is that Jesus needs a willing volunteer. Did you hear what I said? Jesus needs a willing volunteer. Watch how Jesus works in John chapter 6. Look with me at verse number 7. We read, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Notice here that in verse 9, Andrew comes out and says, Hey, Lord, I think we might find a volunteer to help us out here. He's a little boy. He's a little lad. He's never named. But he does have something to offer. I love it. Jesus was looking for a volunteer to help him out. Now, let me ask you a question. Church, listen to this question. Did Jesus need the little boy to feed the multitudes? Nope. No, he didn't. He doesn't need anybody or anything. He's totally self-sufficient. He's Jehovah. But folks, listen to me. Jesus chose to work through the little boy. I hope you're listening. Jesus wants you, like the lad, to volunteer and say, Lord, work through me. I'll volunteer to serve you. I'll give you what I've got. It's not much, but if you can take it and use it, go right ahead. Oh, folks, what a lesson we learn here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Don't turn there. The armies of Israel were defied by Goliath, the giant. The men of Israel were running like cowards, afraid of this giant named Goliath. A little lad named David stepped up and said, I'll fight him. I'll go up against this giant in the name of the God of Israel. He slew him, man. He took him out. He took his head off. Amen? Why? Because God wanted a volunteer to go against the enemy. Oh, I hope somebody's listening this morning. Because God needs volunteers that will enlist in the army of God and go against the enemy. In Jesus' name, we'll be victorious. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning for this little lad, this little volunteer. When David Livingston, the great missionary, sailed for Africa, the first time, a group of his friends accompanied him to the pier to wish him bon voyage. Some of them, concerned for the safety of the missionary, reminded him of the many dangers which would confront him in the dark land to which he was journeying, Africa. In fact, one man urged Livingstone to remain in England and not go. In response, David Livingstone opened his Bible and read aloud to the group the portion of our Lord's last recorded words, Matthew 28. "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Then, turning to the one who would have prevented his going, Livingstone said, "That, my friend, is the word of a gentleman. So let us be going." Let us be going. He said, "Jesus is with me. Don't fear for me. I'm going to preach the gospel in Africa." And he did. Lord only knows how many tens of thousands of souls were saved as a result of his great mission. Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Volunteers. What Jesus needs is a willing volunteer. But something else I see. Fourthly, this morning, Jesus wants people to stop and listen to him. Amen? Jesus wants people to stop what they're doing and listen to him. Folks, here is one of the biggest problems that I see in the ministry today, is that people are too busy to listen to Jesus. Look with me at verse 10. "And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Okay, 5,000 men, 5,000 wives, 2.4 children. You can have 2.4 children. Makes about 20,000 people, right? He says, "Tell them to sit down. I've got something to say to them." Oh, folks, Jesus wants our attention. Jesus wants us to listen to what he says. Look at chapter 4 again. Back to chapter 4, something we didn't read. Look with me at verse 39. In verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So, when the Samaritans would come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You know what they did in Samaria? They heard Jesus. He wanted them to listen. So he goes and he works through this gal, the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. She goes into the city and tells the whole city what Jesus did for her. They all come out to meet Jesus. And you know what they did? They listened to him. They listened to him. Verse 42 says, "Clearly, we have heard him ourselves." Listen, folks. People aren't going to listen to you. You know what I said? "Oh, that's great, Pastor." No, they're not going to listen to you. But they will listen if Jesus gets a hold of them. Amen? That's why when we witness to someone, we don't want to condemn their religion. We don't want to tell them they're going to hell, though they are. We want to show them what Jesus says. Hello? Because the power is not in what you say. The power is in what Jesus says. Jesus wants people to stop and listen to him. And when they do, great things will happen. Listen now. It was written in the biography of Vanderbilt, the multimillionaire, he was one of the world's wealthiest men alive, that as he neared the opal gates of death, he asked one of his faithful servants to come to his bedside and sing the old gospel hymn, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy," just before he passed into eternity. He wanted his servant to sing that song to him. It's a Christian hymn, Come Ye Sinners. The old godly servant, he was a Christian, he sang it for him, and he put much feeling and pleading into the hymn. "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of mercy, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him." Feel your need of him. at the conclusion of the hymn, Vanderbilt, forgetting his millions, cried out, "I'm a poor and needy sinner. Lord Jesus, I come to you." Vanderbilt then looked at his servant and with a smile on his face, closed his eyes and went to be with Jesus in glory. He died and went to heaven. You know why? Because he stopped and listened. And as the servant sang the great gospel hymn, he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come to me, you sinner, poor and needy. I will give you life." And he did. Wow. I love it. Jesus doesn't want people to wait until their deathbed to stop and listen to him. He'd rather have your whole life starting in a young age. But he did say Vanderbilt right there on his deathbed. Something else, beloved, this morning that we learn from this passage is that Jesus works the miracle, not us. Jesus works the miracle, not us. Look at verse 11. Back to our text, John 6, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Don't you know they had the most delicious filet of fish sandwiches you ever tasted in your life? Because Jesus fixed it for them. And it says they had as much as they would. They ate their hearts out. I mean, they were so full, they were burping, man. They was, "Oh, that's so good. Oh, man, I don't think I can eat for another 3 days. I'm so full." Why? Because Jesus worked the miracle. Jesus worked the miracle. Folks, listen to me. We can offer what we have to Jesus Christ, our feeble little lives, but we can't work miracles, Benny Hinn. Only Jesus can do that. Now, look with me in chapter 2, John chapter 2 real quick, and look with me at verse number 7. Verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. Verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said, "Are you kidding me? It's a miracle." Yeah, it's a miracle, all right, because Jesus worked it. Listen to me, church. The only thing the disciples could do was fill the pots with water. They couldn't make it into wine. Jesus could. All you can do is what Jesus tells you to do. And when you obey his voice, he'll work miracles. He'll work miracles. I guarantee it. Go to chapter 11 again. John chapter 11. Aren't you glad we serve a miracle-working Son of God? Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Look at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. You know, where Lazarus was buried for 4 days. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He was dead as a doornail. 40. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God, the miracle-working power of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." And he raises him from the dead, folks. Why? Because Jesus has miracle-working power. The disciples could only roll the stone away. They couldn't raise him from the dead. Jesus could. I hope somebody's getting the picture. The little lad couldn't multiply the bread and fishes. Only Jesus could. But he was obedient in offering it to his service. Oh, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. Final chapter, folks. Look at it. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." How quickly he threw in the towel. They say unto him, "We go also with thee." Yeah. Yeah, we'll go fishing too. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Why? It wasn't God's will for them to go fishing. It was God's will for them to go fishing for men. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No, not nothing. And he saith unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, time out, church, before we continue reading here. Let me ask you a question. Could the disciples pull the net up from the left side of the ship and let it down on the other side of the ship? Yeah. Yeah, they could do that. That was humanly possible. But could they fill that net with fish? Nope. Only Jesus could do that. Watch the obedience. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Why? Jesus worked a miracle. Folks, you've got to get the gist of the scripture. We can only do what God asks us to do, and when we do, He'll work miracles. Are you willing to go and tell the lost about Jesus Christ and His gospel? Because if you will, He'll work miracles. Miracles of self. Greater miracles than any of these physical miracles, which transcend the natural realm from the supernatural, is the salvation of a single soul from sin. That's the greatest miracle. That's the one He wants to provide. Oh, we want signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord. How about the gospel? How about telling people you need to repent and believe Jesus Christ and what He did for you? Oh, folks, the greatest miracle is the salvation of a single soul. I'm here to tell you. I'm so thankful. But verse 6 says, To the right side of the ship ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Listen, folks. When you start living your life on the right side of the ship of Zion, you will not be able to contain the multitudes of fishes that Jesus will bring to you. I am so thankful for that. Listen to me. The great poet Matthias Claudius wrote a poem entitled, We Plow the Fields and Scatter. It goes like this. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine in soft, refreshing rain. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower. He lights the evening star. The winds and waves obey Him. By Him the birds are fed. Much more to us, His children, He gives our daily bread. We thank Thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer for all Thy love imparts, and what Thou most desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. What Thou most desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. Why? Because only He can work the miracles. Once, when Caesar Augustus had bestowed a princely gift upon a poor, humble peasant, the recipient was so overcome with the gift's magnitude that he exclaimed, This is too great a gift for me to receive. Ah, but it is not too great a gift for me to give, Caesar answered him, being pleased to share his own bounty. Folks, Jesus wants to work miracles in your life. He wants to multiply what you put into His hands. So just say, Lord, I'm not much, but if You can take my life and use it for Your glory, do so. Work miracles through my life, Lord. He will. This morning, I was getting my cup of coffee in the kitchen, and I peeked out the kitchen window, and the most beautiful blue jay was sitting on the fence post, and he was just chirping away, looking over at me, and I said, Lord, thank You for that beautiful little blue jay. It's a miracle that only God can create. But I see one final lesson we learn, beloved, concerning this passage of Scripture, the five loaves and two small fishes, and that is this. Jesus supplies over and above what we need. Jesus always supplies over and above what we need. Look with me at verse 12, back to John 6, verse number 12. We read, When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above, notice the wording, over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, the point of the story here is that Jesus Christ not only provided for their needs, he also provided for their future need, for their next meal. Did you see that? The leftovers. Don't you know leftovers are the best? Look at chapter 4 in John chapter 4. Look with me in John chapter 4 at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, woman of Samaria, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus says, I am going to give you something that will last forever. I am going to give you something that will satisfy your soul and heart's desire like nothing else ever could. He said, this water of the world, you'll thirst for it again. But the water that I give you, my Holy Spirit, will make you never thirst again. You'll be satisfied for not only in this life, but for all of eternity. Isn't that beautiful? In chapter 6, again, in John chapter 6. Look with me at verse 35 real quick. In verse 35, Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread, we're talking about 5 loaves, of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said, I want to supply over and above what you could ever need in eternity. And that is myself. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life and shall never die. Folks, Jesus is saying the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, not physical. We need to take Jesus in spiritually. Oh, I am so thankful that Jesus supplies over and above what we need. Indeed, he does it well. Wilbur Nelson tells of an interesting occurrence which took place during the invasion of Scotland. The story reveals that after a long siege of one of the great castles, the invaders, thinking their foes must be near the point of starvation and death, sent in a message demanding their surrender or die. Expecting to see the white flag come out, the troops prepared to rush the castle and kill any remaining survivors. But instead of the white flag, a great string of fresh fish was thrown over the wall with a message attached in reply, never, no, never. Said, surrender or die. They said, never, no, never. And they put a string of fresh fish over the wall. Listen, folks, a subterranean passage to the sea had been dug by the men, enabling them to obtain a boundless, limitless supply of seafood. He said, you're going to starve us out? How about the entire ocean worth of seafood? You can't prevent us from eating. Jesus offers a boundless supply of provision, beloved. All we have to do is offer ourselves to him. Can the guardian of the well die of thirst? No, he guards the well. Someone said, when you have nothing left but God, then for the first time you see that God is all you need. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really do not know why it is these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think that it must be, they have no heavenly father, such as cares for you and me. The birds know where their food comes from, amen? 5 loaves and 2 small fishes were all the young boy had. But when he gave it all to Jesus, oh, so many, many souls did he make glad. Listen, whatever you have for gifts and abilities and talents, give it all to Jesus, church. My message this morning, give it all to Jesus, and he will do great things through your life. My message this morning is 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we thank you for John chapter 6. And Lord, this particular passage is found in all 4 of the Gospels. It's one of the few miracles recorded in all 4 because it is not a parable but a historical event which took place at the sea. Lord, thank you so much this morning for showing us so clearly that you desire our lives surrendered to thee, that thou mayest do great things through us. That's all we need to know. Give ourselves to Jesus, and he will work miracles. Lord, our prayer this morning is not only that we would surrender all to thee, but Lord, that we would in very deed allow you to work through us like never before in these last days. Because, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for the everlasting life that we've received that we want everybody else to receive it too. And the only way that they will, Lord, is through surrendered lives to Jesus, where you can work miracles in the lives of those we try to reach. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen, beloved. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. And I want us to open to 240. And as you're opening up to hymn 240 in your hymnal, I want to ask you a question. What did the young lad do in this passage? What did he do? Did he surrender all? Yep. He surrendered all to Jesus, didn't he? And we're going to sing all 5 of hymn 240, I Surrender All. It's no longer the little lad in singing this hymn. It's me, myself, and I. I surrender all. The altar is open if you need it, folks. And so thankful that we can indeed surrender all.
To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Surrender all to Jesus. Surrender all on the second. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Oh, before we sing on the third, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you. Thank you for the message this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you multiplied the loaves and fishes greatly, miraculously, and supernaturally. And Lord, I thank you for those under the sound of my voice today, wherever they may be in the world. Oh God, you're speaking, Holy Spirit, to hearts. And Lord, you're looking for a few good men and women, boys and girls, those who will surrender all to Jesus, like the little lad. Those who will offer what they've got to offer to Jesus, that he might work miracles through them. My prayer this morning, O God, is that multitudes all over this world would surrender all to Jesus, that they would be completely available, that they would be completely sacrificed to thee, O Lord, in a surrendered life, that thou mayest do great things through them. And Lord, as folks are praying at the altar, let us continue to sing. We thank you for those who are surrendering even now to thy holy will. In Jesus' name, amen. On the third, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all on the fifth. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel thy sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Amen. I surrender all. Amen, amen. Remain standing for prayer, church. Great, great service this morning. And Father, how we thank you that the words of the hymn say it all. The little lad surrendered all he had to Jesus, and Jesus worked the miracle. Lord, I'm so thankful for those listening to this message today that have made that decision for Jesus Christ to surrender their all to thee. Lord, I'm so thankful because I know that because of that surrender, an act of the free will, you will work great and mighty things which we know not through them. Lord, I'm so thankful for the souls that will be saved as a result of full surrender. Lord, as souls are still at the altar here praying, seeking your face, surrendering their will to thee, I thank you, Lord, that you're hearing from heaven on high, and Lord, you are accepting their free will offerings of themselves. Lord, because of this surrender, oh, I believe, Lord, that a vast multitude, a host of precious souls, will come to salvation through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for it today and all you're going to do through surrendered lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight at 6 if you can, beloved.